Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of Studio A. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday afternoon. Now, no one can deny the valuable advancements science has made for the human civilization. Miracle drugs, the internet, devices which improve working conditions, and in many ways, science has improved the standard of living of people around the globe. It's also provided economic opportunities where otherwise there may not have been any. I mean, for example, just take a look at how much of the desert that covers the face of the planet has been converted to fields of hydroponically grown produce and food. But in recent decades, science has sided with, well, left-of-center cultural forces, we can call them that, turning ideology, not discovery, into the prime directive of that vocation. For example, if you oppose evolution, if you oppose embryonic stem cell research, if you question global warming, well, that ideological lobby of scientists that are, well, left of center, are going to immediately decry you and your views as yet another assault in the war on science. Is science, this is the question, is science able to answer all of life's critical questions? Should public policy, school curriculum, cultural standards be guided exclusively by scientific understanding? And should 4 out of 5 dentists rule the day? Again, this is Studio A. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. To talk about scientism, our guest in this segment of the program is Brian Young. He's an author, a speaker, he's a Lutheran educator, and director of the Creation Instruction Association. You can follow their work at his website, creationinstruction.org. Brian, great to have you back on the program. Where are you in the world today?
We are up by Okoboji, Iowa here right now doing a family camp.
Well, what do you guys do at your family camps? I'm curious about this.
Well, I left my family at home, and we're I'm speaking on just the creation topics for a group of families pretty much all morning long, so about lunchtime, and then I get to prepare for other things throughout the rest of the day.
You know, you might be gratified to know, the other program that I host here, the Bible Study and Ask the Pastor, which is the weekday program between 10 and 12, over the course of the last month, you have come up in the course of, you know, conversation at least 3 or 4 times, people referring to your website or having gotten your CDs or DVDs or having used your Bible studies. So you're getting around, man.
That's very good. It's an important topic for people to be considering and just kind of hashing out in their brains just for the very reason of what we're talking about here today.
Well, from where do we get the idea that all of life's most important questions can be answered by science?
Well, ultimately, it's a philosophical reason that this has come about, and one that really is roots more in socialism and those type of things. We've got people like Frederick Hayek and Karl Popper, and those that in the early 1900s were thinking about these types of, I guess, exclusive ways of interpreting knowledge. And exclusive, meaning the Bible was excluded out. You couldn't allow the Bible to be a part of our reasoning. And it not only excluded Christians, but it also excluded in some ways, or has evolved to that in our society, to be exclusive to only scientists. That is, that only the scientists are really smart enough to understand things, and therefore we just have to trust them and make sure that we are following what they say, believing what they're telling us is true without us being able to reason it out, without us being able to use logic, without us being able to use the Bible, without us being even able to consider other experiences and things that we've heard.
You know, I found a quote from, of all people, C.S. Lewis. Apparently he wrote fairly extensively about scientism. And what he said was this: let scientists tell us about science, but government involves questions about how the good for man and for justice and for what things are worth having at what price, for those things science cannot give any value. I guess what he's talking about is that there's an intrinsic quality to humanity that isn't just a matter of column A plus column B equals whatever.
And he is very correct on that. And that's kind of why this has come about. You know, Satan is very wise, and he also wants to make sure the Bible is left out. The problem is as C.S. Lewis said there is something that's intrinsic to man that is not measurable. We can even look at emotions. Love. How much does love weigh? Well, we can't answer that. That is something that we cannot determine using the scientific method.
I've never thought of it. I've never thought about how much does love weigh. That's an intriguing question.
Yeah, it's an immeasurable, emotion. We cannot scientifically prove love. We can't scientifically prove life after death. And so as a result, these are things that we know through experience, through history, through the scriptures, that are there. However, using the scientific method that we have available, it falls short of being able to answer those questions that people intrinsically have, even. And so it causes us to look outside of the regular scientific method to answer them. But really, scientism wants to keep us using only the scientific method and ignore all of those things that are outside of that method.
But don't, if you stick to scientific answers, don't you avoid the arguments that come with differences in theology?
Well, you do, and some people are attracted to that. However, we avoid truth that way, too. I don't think that's a beneficial thing, because it's kind of like we can all sit around the fire, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya, but are we any closer to knowing Jesus? Are we any closer to knowing the truth? No. And so ignoring truth may keep peace at times, but at the same time it doesn't produce what God wants and really what's best for us anyway.
I was wondering if this environment of political correctness, this environment of tolerance in which we live today, is driving our culture to develop this affinity for, favoring a variety of scientific disciplines for defining who we are as people and why we do what we do. For just that reason, it avoids all the other arguments like what is or is not a sin.
Yeah. And I think it is one of those. It's an easy excuse to avoid what even our conscience is telling us is there. Our conscience tells us that, we have morals, right and wrong, but we don't want to listen to that. We want to do what our flesh desires, and so let's ignore it. What's a good way to ignore it? Well, find some justification. What's that justification? The scientific method in scientism. And, like I said, these scientists are wanting to believe that the only way and the only measure of truth is what we can use through observational empirical science. The problem is already they've lost ground, because to say that we can only believe in things that are proven through empirical science means you can't believe in things only through empirical science, because prove the very statement through empirical science. Prove that only truth can be found through empirical science using empirical science. I know that sounds confusing, but
yes, it does.
That's the whole point, is the very statement itself is not provable through the scientific methods, therefore the statement itself is false. And they want us to place trust in the scientists only and say, they will tell us what the methods are leading us to believe. The problem is, how can we trust these scientists? We know that man is a fallen creature. And as a matter of fact, in a recent PLLS survey, which is a peer-reviewed journal type thing, one out of seven scientists have admitted to fake data in their research. Three out of four said that they commit questionable research practices. A third of them fail to present data that contradicts their previous research. So they want us to trust them? I would much rather have a basis of trust on the Word of God, which says it does not change, God does not lie. And so what we're looking at is almost the old argument of, hey, let's just stay on neutral ground so that, we're not going to talk about religion and the supernatural. We just want to talk about science and keep it neutral. Well, it's not neutral. Not neutral at all, because those people are interpreting their sciences through a worldview already. All the evidence that they see is being interpreted through that worldview. Likewise, when I look at the world around me, I'm interpreting it through a worldview myself. I just happen to get my worldview from the Bible. rather than from some other scientist or some other mentor of mine, whatever the case might be. We all have a worldview. And so I choose to use the worldview of Scripture. And archaeology, history, and many other forms of science have shown the Bible to be accurate, that we don't need to doubt it. So I've got some basis to stand on the Scripture. It's not blind faith. But the bottom line is that at least I'm willing to admit that I have a worldview, a bias to interpret that evidence. Evolutionists have it, they just don't want to admit it. And so they expect me to leave my worldview and step into their worldview to argue science. Well, we can't do that. It's not right. They're lying all the time as they admit they are, yet they expect me to trust them? I don't think that's a good worldview to be standing on.
So what is it that's so appealing about Darwinian evolution? Why does it seem to be the thing that's driving the bus on infecting all of culture with a worldview that's based on scientism?
Well, it's kind of like what you hit on earlier. I think it's to avoid being responsible, ultimately, is we have to get rid of the Bible. We don't want that Bible hanging over our heads, convicting us of sin, you know, causing us to feel guilty. And so the best way to do it is to ignore it and to try and make it sound all academic and whatnot. We've got the scientific method that we will use to be a justification to ignore it. But like I said, a worldview, our worldview, the social justice, morals, love, even religion, are really only matters of private opinion if the aspect of scientism is true. I mean, because you can't, using the scientific method, talk about social justice. Or, like you said, theology, which religion is correct, morals, because none of these things can be observed using those scientific methods. So if you can't talk about religion and social justice and morals, then I'm happy, they think, because I can live my life the way I want to.
But we can't escape those things. I mean, we're in a political season right now. And what I find really interesting, if you listen to some of the candidates that are out there, particularly the ones who represent themselves as being conservatives, the people you'd expect to hold some fairly traditional views, are actually trying to use Darwinian evolution to defend things like traditional morality because they claim the evidence is so overwhelming that we have no other choice than to embrace it. So we'll adapt it. Is that a good compromise? Is that a way of making peace?
I think so, yeah. But the problem is when we adapt it, it becomes a lie. It becomes false. It becomes wrong. You see, that's the funny thing about Scripture is you either have to believe it or you don't. You can't just pick and choose, because otherwise a little bit of truth, or I should say a little lie, added to a lot of truth makes the whole thing a lie, doesn't it?
Yes.
And that's what happens is when we adapt this to accept our own views, even immorality is a form of religious belief. Atheism is a type of religious belief. And not only in the theological areas, but we see scientism finding its way into the public policies as well. And they do this by, you can listen to some of these trials on TV or court hearings over, numerous different things where they'll use all kinds of jargon and technical language in public debates, basically to exclude the laity from participating in the debate. And evolution, I've heard many evolutionists say this, that basically, the common person is too stupid to understand evolution, so we don't need to debate it with them. We just need to tell them what they're supposed to believe. And we're going to use all this technical language and we're going to use all this jargon to tell you that evolution is true, which is kind of fun for me when we go and do a debate against an evolutionist. The crowd can't even understand half of what they're saying, but I can still poke holes in what they're saying. The crowd is smart enough to figure out that these guys are talking in circles, they're using illogical arguments, and they're just telling me what they're supposed to believe without any evidence of it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But we have to be able to recognize that to go against it. Unfortunately, too many people are giving in without a fight.
See, and that's
they're
the
not questioning.
Yeah, the not giving in part, because it seems, if you take a jaundiced eye view at this, we're doomed as a culture to embrace evolution and scientism, because so many people seem to be just, well, embarrassed to criticize Darwin because they're going to get labeled as a religious fundamentalist or a nut or anti-science or whatever.
Yeah, and I think there is no question. Some of them, well, they distrust these guys that obviously, as I said, are fallen creatures rather than the Word of God, and they think, well, you know, they know more than I do, apparently. Well, maybe they do know more than you do, but they don't know as much as God does. And like I said, giving up without a fight is a dangerous thing. We can't just roll over. Some practical examples of how scientism has found itself in public policy. You can go look at the Holocaust. You know, scientists then were claiming that eugenics was a necessary policy for the improvement of their society. We got to get rid of these Jews. We've got to keep this race pure. And many people bought into it. Why? Well, because they just listened to these people who were claiming to use the scientific method, interpreting that scientific method as they were, as, you know, going along with it as well. And they bought into it without standing up to truth, without considering what the Bible would say about these things. And today we have the same exact thing happening with global warming. We've got this so-called scientific method being applied to, you know, support global warming, when in fact, if anybody does just a little bit of research into this, we see that global warming is just a political hoax. But many are just giving up without a fight, believing it because they're supposed to. We're not smart enough. They don't, you know, they know more than I do, that type of thing. Ignoring what the Bible says. Ignoring the fact that God's Word says that God is going to take care of us and that this planet will remain until He returns.
We're talking with Brian Young about scientism. It's a worldview that seems to be infecting almost everything we discuss in our culture today. Brian is an author. He's a speaker. He's a Lutheran educator as well as the director of the Creation Instruction Association. As I mentioned earlier, you can follow his work and get all kinds of cool stuff from his web store at creationinstruction.org. And before we go back to the conversation, Brian, just give me a couple of seconds on how much you travel every year and what it is. I mean, if somebody wanted you to come and speak to a congregation, say, here in St. Louis, what kind of a presentation can you do? You're talking about being at a camp right now.
Yeah, you know, we do all kinds of things, from debates at universities down to speaking to children for a VBS and everything in between. Our creation camps, we do all kinds of explosions and whatnot in between presentations of learning about creation and how to defend our faith, how to have a proper worldview. And we can come to your church and do portions of that, talk about, you know, dinosaurs and give answers to questions that people have. How does that fit in with the Bible? As well as many other topics that just show the authority of the Word of God, whether it be from archaeology to just biblical topics like the tabernacle. And so, you know, a wide range of areas, but every little thing that we can do is helpful for people to know that they can trust the Word of God and that it's true.
All right, now back to this scientism business. When was it that science fell out of sorts with God?
I think that was way back about 4004 B.C., roughly, somewhere in there.
Always back to Genesis with you, isn't it?
Yeah. It was, you know, right away when Satan was in the garden and he said, you know, did God really say? Because scientism really isn't anything scientific. It, even its name kind of implies that it's supposed to be some great scientific, you know, marvel, but
It's
not. Basically, the root was to say, no, we don't want God. We're going to kick it out, you know, and so we can trace that all the way through history. But I think for the most part, it was in the early 1900s that it, in its general term, has come about. Because when we talk about scientism, there are a couple of different ways of looking at it. There's a very strict sense in which says, again, only scientific claims are meaningful. Okay, but that isn't the scientific claim, so the statement's not meaningful. You know, like what I said before, it's kind of a circular reasoning. But in a weak sense, the methods of science should be applied, they say, to any subject matter. Now, I can agree with that we should apply methods of science to any and all subject matter, but we have to understand that it's limited and we can't find all knowledge based on the scientific methods. So, I can agree with it to some extent, but for the most part what's being used today is the strict sense of only the scientific methods, only there can we find truth. And you'll never find truth anywhere outside of those methods. Go ahead.
I was going to say, in doing some research for the segment, Brian, I came across a National Academy of Sciences survey of its members. Now, it's a pretty broad survey. It's not every scientist, but it's a fairly significant number. 87% of those guys deny the existence of God. 88% disbelieve in the existence of a life after death. And somewhere around the same percentage hold Darwinism to be the correct worldview of how things came to be and why we are what we are. So it seems this association between Darwinism and the rejection of religion is undeniable. So when these guys work their way into the public square and say, no, listen to me, maybe we better do a better job at examining just who is saying what here.
And that's a very good point because, that's usually what I get to see, too, are those that are the squeaky wheels that are getting the grease, ultimately. They're the ones that we hear in the media. It's kind of the same thing what the media does with just about anything. If there's a shooting and it's some, doped-up crack addict, you don't hear much about it. But if it's a Christian, oh, man, that's going to be plastered all over the, every headline everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You only get to hear those few large, loud people. And I think the same is true here. There are plenty of scientists who reject that. But the other issue, though, is there are some who, they believe in the supernatural, but they still don't believe in God. And, we have whole religions based on spirituality without God, Hinduism, Buddhism, all those kinds of things. So you can look at some of those that would still say, I'll accept the scientific method in its weaker sense, which I would as well, that we need to use the scientific method, but realize that it will fall short and not give us all the answers. But we all, as Christians, need to understand that it has to go further than that, it isn't just a matter of believing in God, but it has to be the God of the Bible. And that kind of leads us into even what we see happening in the intelligent design. Scientism, there's two aspects of it. There's those groups that have the strict sense of scientism that are saying, we can't even talk about intelligent design. That's religious. And so the scientific method isn't going to be able to prove anything on it. We're not going to talk about it in the schools, and you're not allowed to talk about it in public anymore either. We don't want to discuss it. But then there are those who believe in spirituality, but they also believe in intelligent design, but they still reject the Bible. And they'll say, I think that we've used the scientific method. The scientific method has shown us there has to be an intelligence. In our DNA, there's too much information. Information can't evolve. So there is an intelligence. But who is the intelligence? Maybe it's aliens from outer space. And so when we take that weaker sense of scientism, it allows us to also say, okay, yes, the scientific method has fallen short, but aliens could do it. And so they might try the scientific method to try and find aliens. We're going to, put up some more satellites out there, look for some kind of radio signal from these far galaxies and whatnot. And so even then, with many people believing in spirituality, we have to make sure that we as Christians are taking a strong stand on explaining our stand that the Word of God is where our worldview comes from.
Brian, this is really, really excellent stuff. I would imagine someone may work for a Lutheran school or any kind of a Christian school, organization, church, may want to have you come to town. Very quickly, what's the contact information to get a hold of you?
You can call us at 402-519-0301 or our website, creationinstruction.org.
Brian Young, thank you so much. We'll talk again very soon.
You bet. Thank you.